Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, guys. Hope you're having a wonderful evening. Thank you for calling the Stevie, or listening to the Stevie Anderson Radio Show. I tell you what, it's been an interesting week. The weather changed from travel, Louisiana back down to South Florida. Yeah, a lot of weather changed. But at the end of the day, you got a happy Thanksgiving, and I would let you know this. It's the only time of the year that you can eat as much as you want to eat. Now, after this, don't be coming so much. You're going to work out this new plan. You're going to start getting in. You're going to do a little extra, try to get back, you know, watch your weight. But right now, this goes for this whole entire week, actually. So eat as much as you want. Have a good time. Enjoy family and appreciate some Thanksgiving for most all. You have to make sure we do that. And also, too, guys, I want you guys to know that when I'm doing a radio show, it's always about awareness. If you go back to the first episode, all the way to, I think this is the 95th episode, it's all about awareness, and we want the best out of everyone. But the awareness of when you see something wrong, see something's off, we still want to push to make everything right. That's what this show is about. So I want you guys to know that. I've been talking about my university, Gramercy University, that I attended. And I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to post something. Something really to think about. Something really pretty, really, really deep. Something to think about this week. And you see why I push and the hardest was that for Gramercy University. Not just myself, but that's from former students that's out there now, that's doctors, attorneys, physicians, teachers, first responders, artists, and athletes now that all attended Gramercy University. They feel the same way I do, too. I don't think they don't. All right, so, guys, let me give you the topic. The topic tonight, we're going to finish with a continuation of my observation during Gramercy University homecoming. We're going to finish up with that. And also, two co-hosts, we have Alan Jones coming in on the show, and yours truly must, Deborah Gibson Westbrook. That's what we're doing the show also. And there may be others. I have a couple of athletes that may be joining in. Also, I want to give you guys a biblical term from the Bible, Psalms 118, chapter, first verse. Okay? It says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Okay? That's Psalms 118, chapter 1st verse. It said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Okay? So, I've been talking about Gramercy State University, some of the things that's been good, and there's some things that's been very, very troubling. But when I'm talking about Gramercy University, guys, this is where my foundation through when I was much younger and outside my immediate family, but family from guys, my football buddies, to guys, to young ladies, that you had family there that was supportive and still support today. So that's where my heart is at. And I would say this too. we're starting with home at Grumps University, but we're going to end up going to all HBCUs. This is just a kickoff start. This is a kickoff start. Just letting you guys know. We're not going to do this. We're going to make sure home is taken care of first, and which it needs to be. Trust me, it's way off course. We're going to make sure to get back on track. And I believe now we have almighty Alan Jones. Is this Alan Jones?
Hello there. How's it going on the Stevie Anderson radio show?
It's going fantastic tonight. Fantastic, Alan Jones. And Alan, let me say happy Thanksgiving to you and to your family.
All right.
And everyone that's listening. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank
so,
you. Thank you very much. And happy Thanksgiving backwards to you there.
Yeah, yeah. I was letting everyone know, just to mention you about you be hosting the show. And Alan, actually, he went to, was it the MEAC or the SWAC? MEAC, right? It was the MEAC?
Right.
Or the WAC?
Yeah, it was the MEAC. Yeah, MEAC.
Yeah.
At back then, it was the MEAC. Now it's changed.
You want to let everybody know what university that was at, you were at?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. A&T State University. I went there for a bit, and also at Carolina at UNC Chapel Hill for a bit. So actually, I was riding the rail, you know, a foot in each, one in this pond and one in the other. So
okay.
It was a pretty interesting experience. But yes, yes.
And Alan Jones got to do my show, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying I grew up near A&T. My dad worked there. He's the chancellor of the education department, all et cetera. And so as a kid, you know, growing up, always immersed in the activity at A&T, football games, homecoming, all of that, and daily activity. So it was an integral part of a bringing, you might say.
Okay. You want to let our listeners know a little bit more about you, just real brief, though, but when you left North Carolina A&T that you got into the encryption. You want to give something brief about that, and then we'll move forward into the show?
Sure. I don't know if you can hear me okay. I'll tell you what I will.
Very well. Very well. You're good.
Oh, okay, good. I didn't know if the speaker was working. Yes. Well, I worked with IBM in systems all through the 80s, and because I finished college in 1980. And so I was involved with at the onset of IBM systems broke through at that time, about 81. And I thought they were interesting and pursued a career in systems. And it proved to be pretty it was a great choice. I was excited about it, new and growing, and was pretty good at it in corporate sales and networking at the time, interested in it. And it progressed through the 80s. In the 90s, it began to, you know, this real high volume sales. But in the 90s, it became apparent, the writing on the wall, that eventually PCs would be a commodity, as they were shortly becoming. So by 95, they were. So I exited the corporate sales environment. And, you know, I loved traveling around the country. It was great. But I went to engineering school and received all of the education required to be certified in network engineering. And I immediately got right back in the industry and was lucky. Rupert Murdoch and News Corp pulled me out of network engineering school because I had the highest average and they wanted the top graduate.
No bragging.
So,
no bragging.
The timing.
Alan.
The timing was perfect.
No, just get to Alan. We don't want the whole book now. We don't want the story. But look here, I'm just messing with you. But listen, check this out, guys. Alan, yes. At the nutshell, he wants to tell you that he don't want to be so braggadocious about it. More or less, in a sense, just that he studied encryption. So encryption is like very, very high, extreme level. It's a whole different level. So
yeah.
Alan is.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah.
And Rupert Murdoch just sent me to learn encryption from the guys who invented it. It was interesting from that point on. The smart card technology, all of that was imposed. I made all of the smart card technology and blah, blah, blah. So that's how it evolved and from just having an interest in systems and then got in the technical side of it instead of the sales side. And right time, right place, bam. So that's how that evolved.
Alan, and that's Alan Jones. Can't beat Alan Jones. He's in Palm Desert, well, Palm Desert, San Diego area right now, so enjoying the weather.
Alan,
I'm glad you're on the show. San Diego?
Oh, well, thank
you. Beautiful weather. Yeah. Beautiful weather. So, Alan was on the show last week, and we were talking. Guys, we had the dean of Grambling State University, Miss Adrienne Weber. She was on the show, and it was a beautiful show. She gave us the rundown on the state-of-the-art library, the first digital library in the state of Louisiana. That digital library is the only digital library that's supposed to be in place in Louisiana, supposed to be under contract. So the library pretty much also, two guys, has been kind of kept quiet for some reason. I don't know why, but Smithsonian was there doing homecoming. Like, how would you make – that's not, okay. They were there. It was really, really just beautiful. So it was an awesome show with her on. She's very detailed. She's a Southernite from SWAC, you could say, and to AKA sorority to Grambling State University. And I said this on the show. I said, moving forward in our pursuit to get things on track financially, in a sense, with Grambling State University, bringing more resources to Grambling, she would be the one, Alan, that I would make sure, you know, when it started, that she can have her eyes on what's going on, because she's in a new state of the art facility right now. But like I mentioned to her, I don't want this just to be the only building at Grambling State University. Be like, okay, we have a building, and it ends up being an office that people can stop by and visit, and that's it. But when you go outside, like you back in, you know, back in the 1800s, I don't want that to happen at Grambling State University. So, and you were listening, and you were hanging on and listening to her. So what do you think about Miss Adrienne Weber, the dean?
Well, I think that's a great start and opportunity to really showcase some talent and build upon. Every good kernel of information or an item of interest, a quality item of interest, always is a stepping stone to build on. So with that in mind, being the only one, the digital library there in Louisiana, that's quite an accomplishment to have secured that nugget. It's almost as if being, say, a restaurant in town, a nice restaurant in town, that is the only one that can have an alcohol beverage license. I mean, it's kind of the equivalent of that, because you are talking about an institute of higher learning with the only digital library. So somewhere in there is a way, a platform of to reach the next level, at least to have a line on the next level of to secure. And you're right, that can't be the only thing that it has to offer. There has to be other developments and things in the planning or in consideration or of interest in which to put some planning and stair-stepping, you know, efforts towards. So I think you're very right about that. It needs to happen sooner than later, be it, you know, in whatever sector of the school that has the best chance of, you know, elevating first, be it sports or education department or whatever department. You know, that's internally something that would have to be, you know, someone internally would be more up to speed on that. But, yes, I would agree that needs to happen.
Good. Yes. Now, this is the thing, Alan, when I was there, Limited was good. The library was fantastic. I'm telling you, the library is beautiful. Okay? It's beautiful. It's a great setup. I would say, I think for you guys that former alumni haven't been back to Grambling, you guys are gonna appreciate the library very much. So, and any other for your listeners passing through, you stop through, check out the library. I think you guys are going to actually be you'd be impressed with it. And at the same time, it will be open supposedly for any for public also too. So not just a student, anyone can come and be able to use the library, which is very, very nice. Also too, I must say, when I was there, it was a blessing to see former friends that are now doctors, attorneys, physicians, as teachers, as first responders, artists, and athletes. It was really, really nice to see those guys. That was fantastic. I really, really enjoyed those guys being there. And even though time flies, and it has flown, I'm just thankful for them to come back and see everyone that's doing well and moving forward to reaching for the better in life, all positive. I must say the band, the Graham State University Marching Band, was absolutely, Devin missed a step. The marching band was awesome, okay? I was in Houston, so I ended up going to Houston after the homecoming. And the Graham State University, class, professional, sporty, all shapes and forms, the Graham State University band hadn't missed a beat. Now, these are some of the things that was troubling to me. Now, are you ready for this?
Absolutely.
The first thing, I'm going to give you five things. But we're going to move, go after the same. Next week, we're going to go into a little bit more detail. But just let me give you just a few things that's troubling to me. The roads, the building, the infrastructure, fencing, the long walk to the stadium, and, of course, the football team. Okay, band is one. The band was very, very was awesome. It's beautiful. Now I would say this: anyone that's listening, if you get a chance to actually visit Graham State University or find out where they're performing, make it a point that you get a chance to watch Graham State University marching band. At that time, we have Miss Deborah Gibson Westbrook on the phone that is making tons of noise. Miss Deborah Gibson Westbrook that's making all the noise.
Hey, it's storming. It's thundering and probably lightning. I am stuck in Texas.
Are you? You're not doing like they have us do back in the day. They go get in the closet, you know, when the weather gets bad. You know that lightning that strikes so loud back at home, man. It's like a bomb, right? In Louisiana and Texas,
it hits hard. I'm right in the corner. I'm right in the corner, away from the windows. Yes. How is everybody doing?
Doing fine. Hey, Alan, okay. Jones. Oh, go ahead, Alan. Do it.
Yeah, I said everybody's A-okay. Hello there, Deborah. How you doing?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Oh, A-okay here in sunny Southern California with my short sleeve shirt on.
Okay,
oh,
love it. Man. Love it. You guys,
that's not funny.
You on one end of the world and Stevie on the other side of the world. You guys go ahead and rub it in. It's okay.
Oh, yeah, it's nice down here. I apologize for saying that. It's very nice in Florida. I'm sorry I said that. Very nice.
It's more important everybody's safe, right? And that's the most important.
That's more important, yes. Yes, because let me tell you, it's nice being in the snow sometime too, right? It's nice being in the snow for a little while. You know, it depends what you like. But let me say this. Yeah. Ms. Gibson Westbrook, I would say this to you. I was just going over with Mr. Jones, Alan Jones, basically about how the good things, all right? So we had a wonderful young lady on, Miss Aiden Weber. Miss Aiden Weber was fantastic. I mentioned that when we get to that point here pretty soon, I said she would be the one that I would put my trust in financially, right? So we kind of talked about that. We kind of talked about also, too, about the good, the library, of course, but also to the band. The band hadn't missed that much of a beat. The band was beautiful. It still is beautiful. And I was saying that if anyone that's attending Grammar, passing through, or if they can to find where they're performing, make sure it's a sight to see, it's a sight to listen to. At the same time, with not just the friends and family that's there, that's always beautiful, it was fun, but also, too, we get to the troubling points. This is the troubling points of Gramercy University. And at the same time, I mentioned earlier that this is home for us at Gramercy University, but Alan went to, he's a part of the HBCU. There's no reason
right.
that HBCUs, there's no reason, guys, that HBCUs should be suffering at all. Any HBCU,
right.
there's too much money out there right now for this, okay? So
right.
Even though people tell you it's not there, it's there. All right, however, troubling part, right? The troubling. The roads, we're going to cover the roads. We're going to cover the building infrastructure, the fencing, the long walk to the stadium, and we're talk about the football team. That's just this point. Of course, we're going to go a little bit deeper into it next week, God said the same. But also, too, at the end, we'll talk about some things that moving forward, what needs to change to on the way for success, right? So now,
right,
Deborah Gibson Westbrook, Alan, she was in that area at the time, and what do you think? You want to tell what's your point of view about the roads? Well, basically, let me say this: I went to the library to check it out. I walked around the library. Okay. Don't laugh. Look, so I end up driving up that way, right, on a road trip. So I come out smiling, like, oh, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. That's a nice library. I like that. I wish we had that. Because I had a young gentleman that's actually attending the university right now. He was there. He was with me. So I was like, man, I said, if I had a library like that, I never would have left the library. And I said, by the way, Chris Robinson had us in the library, and I mentioned to her, we're going to talk about that. It's a lot to talk about. We'll talk about this next week, too, also. I'm not going to go that far. So I called myself. I was like, man, it's a nice library, man. I'm just right. I said, I like that. I say, that's really nice. And so we got to talking, and we was talking. I rolled out. I'm looking at the traffic. I'm not paying attention. I roll out, and bam. My tire, so I have like these 22-inch tires on this on my car. I'm not going to say it. No, I have a car, okay?
So what kind of car it is?
When it
hits,
No, that's not necessary. That's not necessary.
It has an
it's not
arm.
About,
it
it's not about. Hold on.
It
let me
no,
get y'all started right now. I'm going to get y'all started right now at the box, okay? So for your listeners right now, okay, I have muted them. I have M-U-T-E-D-D-D-D-D, them, okay? Now, as I was saying, I was in my vehicle. It's not about what a person is driving or whatever it is. I don't care what you're driving. I could be driving a 35, actually, a 35T model. Actually, I want one, by the way. I want to get my 35T model. I'm going to plan on getting one. So, guys, don't be out there trying to get a 35T model before I get one. That's my plan to get my 35T model sometime next year, maybe. All right, now that I had you guys muted, my car, I hit a pothole. And when I hit the pothole, I was like, God, you know? And I was like, are you kidding me? So I'm having to creep down the road to the left, to the right. Some cars having to pass by. I'm dodging, going down to the stadium, where the, right there where they're going like the other direction. So I was going east that time. But you come back around, you got to come back west. So I'm dodging where I drive at around the university.
And holes
I'm
everywhere.
The pothole.
Right.
Alan,
wow.
Like, Alan, what's going on with that? Right, right.
Let me go first. Yes, let me go first. Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that. That's so sweet of you. First of all, I hit that same home, and I'm going to say what I was driving, a Ford Expedition Eddie Bauer, and the tires on that truck cost a lot of money. So for you to hit those holes, I'm like, it messes up your front end, it messes up your tire, it messes up your rim, it messes up some other stuff. Yeah, but it's holes all over the campus. I drove all around the campus. Well, first of all, once they put those fence up, you had to drive all around the campus. And it's just holes everywhere, and it's ridiculous. It really is. Because some of those holes, you don't know it until you hit it. You don't even see it until you hit it.
So
I have to run an e-bike going through there.
You say what now?
And I have to rent me an e-bike and ride around the campus now. It's one of the electric bikes.
The plan is.
I'm not tearing up the tires on my Rolls Royce.
All right. Okay. Yeah, but Alan, I would say this, Alan. I would really say this. I feel that, and I would see, maybe there's going to be a way, there will be a way pretty soon to how they want to form those roads in the future off the library. They may want to widen the road, they may want to narrow it, they may want to make it a one-way. So they may be in the process of doing that, but it was very, very troubling that I'm going to university, I come home, and I see these roads this way. So that's my assumption in a sense that wouldn't be bad if you've been there to make that road a one-way and then, you know, widen it out since it's already seemed like it's pretty much going away anyway. Tear it up, make a one-way.
Right.
Or even... Right, make it a one-way, or put lighting in between and widen it. I think that would be a really, really nice setup. So that was kind of threw me way off course because I will be going to a repair shop next week for my car, by the way. And Grandma, you have to worry about it. I'm not sending you a bill or anything like that. It's not important. It's about building our university, okay? But I do think that would be really, really nice to widen that road. And maybe that's their intentions in a minute to widen it out a little bit, Ms. Gibson, and to put
here's the issue with that. Right.
Yes.
Here's the issue with that. You have the town of Grambling, which they keep trying to say the city. But anyway, the town of Grambling, and then you have the university. And so there's portions of the roads that – part of the town of Grambling, they're the ones that have been fixed. Like when you come in from the I-20 and you notice how nice it is when you get to the red light and everything is all smooth, and when you go all the way through to the 80, it's nice. Okay, that's all part of the town of Grambling. That would fall under the mayor. That road where you're talking about, that portion that's part of where it's got all the holes and stuff, that's
right.
Where the fight started. Who determines what's the separation between the university portion and the town portion? So that's another that was another issue. What road was what could be cut off and what can't be cut off? And so it appeared that the roads that's the universities are the worst.
See, this is my thing, Alan. If there's a situation with any roads that need to be put in order, in a sense, right?
Right.
If there's a fight between you and I, Alan, why don't us come together and guess what? We'll call it Alan and Anderson. Alan and Anderson Road. Alan and Anderson Street. What, you know, it's to me, at some point in your life, you need to start giving back and helping and understanding, like,
and
look here. When you pass 40 years old, 45 years old, when you pass 50, you're on your way out. You're on the road to go over the mountain to go out of this world. You're not getting younger. So until you start changing your your greedy, selfish, ignorant ways. Keep being greedy. Keep being selfish. Keep being ignorant. Keep on being ignorant. You have to answer to me. You have to like Stevie Anderson. You don't have to like Stevie Anderson at all. I don't care, male or female. I don't care. But you're going to have to answer to God. Because you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going that way now. That's one thing where you're going. So when you're at the point right now,
right,
and you're still worried about the attitude and anger and worried about what you have. When you get 50 years old, that should be, you should be on an uphill of helping folk, man. I don't get that. But I understand what you're saying, Ms. Gibson, because it's so true what you're saying about that. It's very true. That has to change. You have to look for these students. Okay?
Right.
You look for these students. I'm going to say it again for you listening out there. I don't care if you purple. I don't care if you pinstripe. I don't care if you white stripe. I don't care if you black stripe. I don't care if you prejudice. I don't care if you not prejudice. I don't care if you go to your religion or you higher religion. As long as you breathing, we're all going to answer to God. And some of
That's
us
right.
going to hell, and some of us going to heaven. But when you get a certain age, you need to start worried about your get that pride in place. Not worry about the next week. You need to be helping. There's guys out there right now, listening right now, that's filthy rich, filthy billionaires.
And
they're sitting home right now holding
secret.
The money, holding the money. But guess who's going to get it? Somebody's going to get it. So you better make sure you start giving some bonuses back to these to this youth, much you can, in these
right.
universities. Now, go ahead. Hold on one second.
Because
let me call on the phone.
Go
ahead. I want to get off. But that, see, that's what I'm talking about. But you heard in the university. Hold on one second. We have a call on the phone. Thanks for calling the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Who we have on the phone? Who is this calling the Steve Anderson Radio Show?
This is Molly.
This is Miss Molly Taylor. Guys, let me tell you something. Don't laugh. Y'all. Molly, when I was in fourth, fifth grade, when the bell rung to go to the next class, I would look to the left, and I would see Molly, and Molly stared at me, and I would run as fast as I can, because Molly be laughing. She always been a clown, guys. Molly is like a sister to me, a younger sister, but thank you, Molly, for keep me laughing all through my whole life since I was a little boy. I really appreciate it. Thanks for calling into the radio show. How you doing, young lady, out of Houston, Texas?
I'm doing good. We were just sitting here talking, you know, listening to the radio and what you was talking about.
Yes.
You know, and like, you know, you're gonna, and when you get a certain age, you need to be more, not have so much anger towards people. You know, just kind of
yes,
living
ma'am.
Freely. You know, and just loving
yes,
people, and you have to meet people for where they are, and I can attest to that because you know I used to be just out there, you know, I ain't gonna say out there bad, you know, nothing like that, but
mm-hmm.
just like
mm-hmm.
I've always been free spirited to say what I want to say, do what I want to say, and do it my way, and I ain't give a care of what nobody else thought. Never been like
mm-hmm.
that. I always, you know, I never ran with the crowd. But I was always in the front with the crowd. You get it?
Got it.
That probably went over your head. Yeah,
no,
you know what I'm saying? So,
right.
So I know that I have humbled myself as much as possible. You know, I try to treat people right, you know, because karma will come back, you know. It will come back. Because I said today on my live, I did a video and I said, I'm not everybody's cup of tea, you know, and I'm not for everybody, but I'm for me, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
that's right.
So as long as I treat people right and they don't treat me right, it's not going against me, it's going against them. So everybody got to be accountable, everybody, every woman,
but that's 1,000% truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's 100% true, Molly. That's 100% true because you understand is this, is that when you when you go out and reach out and do good to help, that devil, sometimes it just sits in people's soul. And I only get too deep on, and again, that's not a show, but you have, as long as you made that attempt and it was in your heart, you've done your job. Go ahead.
Yes.
Go on. Go ahead on.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you think? What do you think? You have Alan Jones on the phone, Molly, and you have, as a co-host, you have Ms. Deborah Gibson-Westbrook. You guys want to chime in with Ms. Taylor for a minute?
I think Alan has something.
Yeah, I can always add something somewhere. But I tell you, I got something that's actually relevant. And it ties into what you were saying as she was joining us, by the way. You know, Mom and my uncle told me something a long time ago that made so much sense, and I've always kept that with me to kind of keep that governor on things. You know, when you think you're way out ahead of yourself, you know how it is. Like you just mentioned, Molly, about being a little humble, being a little bit more reserved, you know, and showing a little bit, you know, being a little more wise with what you're talking about. But getting back to the original statement, my uncle and my mom told me, they said, you know something? You can tell a lot about a man by how he makes others feel about themselves.
Uh-huh.
And I said, whoa. I said, well, I've been an ass all this time. I mean, not all the time, but quite a bit of the time. Arrogant, loud. So let me tone it down. And that governed me from that day forward, like in high school, you know, to be a much better person, just keeping that in mind. And that's kind of what the school, like you're talking about, the curb appeal of the school, the roads, the this, the that, you know, it needs to be upgraded to have a sense of, you know, of pride and all in the school. You know, it makes people walk, you know, straight up posture, you know, instead of humped over and embarrassed. You know, I mean, making light of it, but not really. And
well,
all of those things come in with
that.
Your soul.
Social media killed it. Social media killed that. When social media became the platform, It's the platform. It's nothing we can do about it. These young, I call it Generation X. They are living their life through social media.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. That's true. May I say something? That's true. However, the leaders at Grambling State University and other HBCUs are not the social media young people. They're the ones who were before the social media, and somewhere they've forgotten that the university is not about us. I'll say us because I'm at that age bracket. I'm actually older than the now president at Grambling State University. I babysitted him a couple of times when I was a student at Grambling. So I'm saying that they forget that they're forgetting that it's not about how one of us feel about each other. It's about those young people, and we should be leading by example for the young people. And because our generation stopped teaching and training, yes, social media became their platform because there was no more teaching. Everybody became so selfish and self-centered and me, I. And that's why so many things get neglected at Grambling. And I have family members at other HBCUs. The conversation is the same everywhere, and it has to stop everywhere because our young people are suffering. They really, really are. And it's to the point where I was sharing with a niece of mine. I'm like, I'm sorry, baby, but nobody's going to like this. But sliding down a pole is not dancing. And I'm a dancer. I teach that stuff. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So our generation.
Alan, don't be laughing, Alan. Alan, don't be laughing at that.
I think she dropped some hard knowledge on her right there.
But Molly, I would say this. I really do. Go ahead. You have something to say, Molly? Go ahead.
I'm listening.
She's listening.
I was just going to say that kids nowadays interact on such a digital basis that they have floated out to sea as it relates to dealing with somebody one-on-one viscerally, you know, dealing with them heart to heart and gut to gut, you know, emotionless but yet effective communication, they do not have that skill.
Right.
And I'll say that skill has been greatly diminished. It's hard for kids to speak in a complete sentence without the ums or sounding like a valley girl, you know. Like,
yeah.
You know, like it's like, you know what I mean, man. See what I'm saying, know what I'm saying, man. See, like, I would see what you're saying, and you would say what you think you're saying. You know, so those kind of things, because, you know, we can invoke some of the less illustrious English words, you know, we can ask somebody. Occasionally, you know, Ebonics does slip in. However, completing, you know, constructing complete sentences and getting your point across without cussing is paramount to being an effective human being. And, you know, I have an accent. I'm from North Carolina. So did Andy Griffin. But that didn't make him less effective, and neither does it make me. So that's all I'm saying. Our kids don't have the wherewithal to understand that effective communication matters, and it doesn't involve a keyboard on your phone.
Right.
Or laptop.
Yeah.
That's
Molly,
all. And they don't
Molly,
know.
Yeah.
Molly.
You're correct. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I agree on that.
Molly just said,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, but what do we know? We're all, you know, we all old because we're beyond graduation age. They don't want to listen to anybody. How? What would we possibly know? What
exactly.
Generation get from us?
Molly, I'm glad you jumped on the show. Anything else you'd like to say before we jump off the show? And we're going to be the next topic is going to be really, really very, very strong, because we have to – we're moving to a new, I would say, innovation, new phase for Grambling State University. But Grambling State University is our home, but then we're going to keep going on to the HBCUs. But anything else you'd like to make a comment on before you get off, what you're doing, how can I reach you, anything like that? Are you good? And are we going to catch you some other time on another show, another topic? Okay. I think Ms. Taylor is off the phone. I think she probably got cut off. Molly?
I like what Ellen said about to see. So many of them are out to see. I like that.
So now,
they're out to see.
Okay. Sorry we had to go off course. We didn't go off course, but what you said, Ms. Gibson Westbrook, is that it's so true. You have people fighting among a certain age. They need to stop. Okay. The building and infrastructure at Grambling, grade F. Okay. Now, I'm just going to put that grade right there. And I'm going to get into that later. It's just a grade L. Okay. There's buildings that need to be not even just pressure washed, but I'm sad to say this because let me say this. I explained to you the difference of what I've seen versus now, and I'm seeing the now, the downfalls. The fencing, what do you think about the fencing, Ms. Gibson?
Okay, first of all, it went viral on social media, the fencing. It looked like the university was closing or had closed, and it's the same fencing that you see that they put around the building when a building is being closed. I don't know if you visited the campus when Dunbar, the old band, remember Dunbar Hall, the old band building? Music building, and
yes.
They had that fence
yes.
around it because it was closed, it was condemned. Well, those were the same type fence that they used. Anyone coming from Texas past the Shreveport, you see, I talked about the Diamond Jack Hotel, which is now closed, And those are the fence that it has all around that hotel, because that hotel is closed. Once it closed during the pandemic, it hasn't reopened yet. So when people saw that, they thought the school had closed. It went viral on social media that people really thought the school was closing when they saw the fence. They complained, and I don't blame them. They were complaining about they couldn't take pictures when they got in front of the museum. They couldn't take pictures because those fence were in the way of the pictures. And in order for them to get around to it, they had to go all around the campus and work their way around. And they had no one giving them directions how to do it. I knew how to work my way through because I know the campus. But other people was just confused. They didn't know, you know, what to do and stuff. So it was tacky. It was very tacky. Homecoming, the campus should be beautified. It totally just tore it up. And I don't know whose decision it was, because it seems like when something like that happens, they'll say, well, it was the president. The president ordered it. But then when it doesn't turn out good, the president say, I didn't know he was going to do that. It was the town of Granville. So that's mm-hmm. been like a issue back and forth and back and forth. But anyway, Steve,
well,
between you and
I would say, yes. And I would say this, before I say that, I was saying, now, Fools, I said the buildings guys are elf. Now, I didn't mean the dormitories. We have a few dormitories that's been upgraded. We'll say that. But there are other buildings, that existing buildings that was there, that's still sitting there. There's no one in them but ghosts, right? So that's mm-hmm. something to happen to that. So, like, sorry. And we will get to that in another topic. But the fencing, I agree with you in certain senses. I will say this, that the fencing, I had to get out. I had to go around and I didn't know if I could go a certain direction. I had to go around and walk out to go to the museum, Ed Robinson Museum, and I couldn't go by the cafeteria area to after the next day after the homecoming was over, because a lot of times people want to drive to and park close so they can walk through, because they know that's a meeting area. It's always been where a lot of people come there and they network. That area is always crowded. That's a networking.
Right.
There was really no location that people could really network unless you were tailgating. But some guys may not want to go tailgating because tailgating requires a lot of walking. And you have people that may have injuries to them that they can't get around. So that was a hindrance.
Right.
Alan, what do you think? What were we saying about that?
Yeah, I feel you 100%. If you were going house or apartment shopping, what you're saying is it has no curb appeal, you know.
Right.
Everything about the visualization of everything. When you're talking about the fencing, I can see – I haven't seen the campus, but I can imagine, like you say, some fence, you know, fence area that got holes in it, leaning, you know, decrepit. Like you said, looking like it's segmenting a building that's no longer occupied, that kind of fencing around certain areas.
Right.
Yeah, and the roads, the potholes, and just like you said, there is no campus beautification project
Right. The project,
right, right.
Yes, it needs to be,
and
that's what we're going to reach for. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Be it cheerleaders trying to raise money for this portion of the school or that, and on the booster club or whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff that school systems have, and try beautification projects, and during homecoming, like you said, Deborah, trying to beautify what you can to at least make it look more festive, more inviting to the people that are coming to homecoming, be it alumni, which is, hey, you know, booster club, alumni, contributors, you want to kind of, you know, tug at them while you can to get money for the school in one way or the other, as well as others. So all of that shows appreciation, pride, school pride, all of that, when you at least try to care for what you do have in order to transform it into something that you want to have, you know. So you're right.
Right.
Because that sends a signal, and that would be my take on it, because I feel you. You got to have school spirit, school pride, school interest, wherever you are.
All right, move
right.
forward.
And those people, when they saw
the
on social media, they didn't even come. When they saw the pictures on social media, they said, oh, well, they just assumed, well, the school must be shut down. Because you hear so much stuff. It's so much going on. It's so much being said.
Wow.
It's so many women. So they didn't know and stuff. So they just said, oh, well forget that. I'm not going to take that long drive to get up there and find out that it's not going to happen.
Oh, so that meant it was that much of an impact of the photos from all of the main areas that people are used to and used to seeing, not just an isolated area, but like you said, a majority of what you would see going in and out of the stadium and the campus, photos that made people go, ugh.
Right. Right.
Wow.
They couldn't take
on social media. On social media, that is. On social media. So, wow,
right.
I guess you're right.
Well, see, the media people, because I was there, my sister manages the museum, so I was there earlier, and I was just over at the museum, you know, hanging out with her and saying, welcome to the museum, blah, blah, blah. But so the media people were there early. They were there Monday. They were on campus, and so they were taking pictures, and so it was going to the news. It was going on their news sites and their Facebook sites. And you see what I'm saying? And other people who was coming from, there are a lot of alumni, they take their vacations at that time. So they're there early, and they're there, and they're trying to take pictures. And it was just horrific. And the more fences they put up, the worse it got. So by the time you see what I'm saying? By the time we got to Friday, Thursday and Friday, it looked like the school was shut down. Because if I'm coming from Texas and I pass Diamondback and I see this mess all around Diamondback, I know Diamondback Hotel is closed. And now I'm seeing this on social media around the university. I'm saying, what the heck is going on? And if you call, you can get absolutely nobody. You can get absolutely nobody. When I say you can get absolutely nobody, you can get absolutely nobody. No operator answering the phone. If somebody answers the phone, they transfer you to the police station. They know nothing. Nobody know nothing. So why would I drive in? Why would I fly in? Why would I take the train in? It was that horrific.
I have a better understanding of what you're talking about. It's at alarm level 5, you know.
Right.
Right.
So we're going to get into that. We'll get back into the next, because what we're saying right here is going to move into what you're saying, that we can go a little bit farther. We can go to another notch of that, the next topic. Okay.
Okay.
The long walk to the stadium. Now, let me tell you what happened. So I came in early, and believe it or not, I ended up catching 3 games. I forgot about that. Huh. So I got there, and I'm in my family home. So, guys, I live probably about we live probably about 30 minutes from Grambling, like 20 minutes from Grambling. So that's why
20 minutes.
Grambling is family, okay? That's a root, all right? A deep root in my family, okay? And on both sides of my family, actually. So what happened, I went up there and I met Noah, Deborah, thanks for Deborah for that, you know, breaking
my
that
nephew.
Down. But, yeah, so let me tell you what happened. So he said, man, that's a game going on? I said, yeah, it's a game. A game? I didn't even know. I thought the game was off. It was a home game. So I took that photo against the wall because I'm standing there looking like, what is going on? What's going on with Grambling, right? So let me tell you what happened.
Yeah.
I'm still in deep thought. I said, okay, so how are we going to get there? Because it's going to drop. No, man, you got to park. You got to park and walk way up. I said, we got to park and walk way up there to the stadium?
You
got to
park
me?
Almost 2 miles away and walk.
Wait, look. So he tell me, he said, no, man, we got to park. We got to park here. I
almost
said,
2 miles.
What? So, I said, you know what? And guess where I parked at? Guess where we parked at? We parked at the library, right? And
We
parked at the library. I said, let's go and take this walk then. I just want to see how far a walk this is so I can talk about this. It's kind of like I want to go back and register my mind. I'm really walking this far. Not just me. I'm not worried about me. I'm worried about everybody else that's having to take that long walk. That's a long walk.
Wow.
What if it's raining? Wonder if someone passed out in an embassy to get through, and then people have to rush to get back to the. I work out. Okay, I run some. I run every week. I run during the week now. I run, so I work out. But there's people that have health issues that no way they're going to make it to that stadium. They have to come back
no
now.
Way.
I'm going to play golf. I play golf professional, okay? Qualifying to make the tour. So that's 500 yards. They have to walk up there to that state. From where the library is about 500 yards. It's about 400 yards, about 450 yards. And then you have to walk 450 yards
spot.
Back.
That's close.
So I was like, are you kidding me? Like, really, if you don't have a certain tailgate pass, that who's going to – everybody don't go tailgate. People tailgate, but some people don't tailgate, right? So what if you're coming in, you just want to go to the game, watch the game. You
right.
want to go see the history of Andrew Robinson Stadium. You want to see it in a hole. You want to see the history, right? No.
Right.
You're going to have to get out your car and catch an airplane, a little mini helicopter up there to the stadium. That's how far it was. Because they had every area blocked off. They had the backside over by the president's house on the other side back over. That was blocked off.
So, half a mile away.
look, so I'm going to say this right here. Moving forward. Okay. Go ahead. Give me something on that right quick. What do you guys think about what I just said?
Let me add to that real quick, that walk. Okay. First of all, when you think in terms of alumni, most of the alumni are up in age. So you know that's a risk.
I was
going to
say that.
We ain't liking it. And then when you get there, if it's raining, because you caught up raining, great point, and you have your umbrella, guess what? You can't get in the stadium. They tell you, oh, you can't leave it here. You got to take it back to your car. I'm saying, what do you mean I got to take my umbrella back to the car? It's raining. We don't care. You can no longer take your umbrella into the stadium. So what are we supposed to do if it's raining? They don't care. Was the response.
And you know
That's
what, too? And you know what, too, Alan? Alan, back in the day,
yeah.
the girls would wear heels. The guys wore some nice shoes back to the games. Now,
yeah,
you better have your best tennis shoes that you can find, the softest tennis shoes. No Converse. Don't wear Chuck Taylors. Or Chuck Taylors. That's too – no. Don't wear
them. Yeah, so, you got to have something with pads.
So, and then shuttle, no. I saw a coach. I'm not going to call his name. But I saw him come out twice. That was it. That was the first game. Now, the homecoming game, you had to have a pass. The pass, well, we had a pass to get in, but tailgating. But you weren't tailgating. You still had a long walk, and there was no shuttles. I mean, maybe three shuttles that maybe ran about five times. Maybe. I don't know, but it wasn't enough shuttles put like that. So at the end of the
right.
day, Alan, it was ridiculous. Moving forward, the football team. Whew. Okay. If I'm the chief operator, if I don't know, if I have a staff, I'm supposed to be able to, as a head coach, go out there and just drink my Gatorade and watch the game and watch us at least win half the season, right? Win something.
Right.
Are the other players, the other coaches, maybe have some in their drink. You don't know. But let me say this. Coach Robinson, and I would say this for a fact, Doug Williams, they had players that were already ready for the league.
Right.
And Coach Robinson had players that he taught. I would sit there with Coach Robinson. We were on one play 8 times, back to back. Run down there, come back, run again. Run it again, that's 3. Run it again, that's 4. Run it again, that's 5. Run the play again, that's 6. Run it again, that's 7. Run it again, that's 8. 8 times.
And I bet.
I'm not lying to you. This is the truth. This is the truth. Look,
and I bet every time you ran it,
you better run it right.
I bet every time you ran that, Yeah, he wanted you to run and make that cut just like it was your first time running it, all eight times.
Thank you.
You had to make that sharp cut.
Thank you. What you just said.
Full speed.
Going to that down the road.
Speed.
I'm going to come back on track.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, listen to what I'm saying. I'm back on track. Come on,
Stevie, that's why you made it. That's why you made it.
All right, so Santa to say this. I'm going to come back to this on next week. God say the same. When I was in Arizona, I ran a route, and the coach told me, Stevie, run that blah, blah, blah route. He said, run it 7 yards. See, we talked to run routes 5 yards and out. In the league, you run a route 7 yards, and you come back to the 5 yards. See, them players don't have a clue what I'm saying up there right now. The coaches don't probably – I know the head coach, he's nuts, but he has assistant coaches that need to know what they're doing.
Right,
so I'm
because
saying
that little bit.
No, wait, one second. Let me say this. Wait. The coach told me, if you don't run the blank, 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 blank route, I'm going to send you blank, 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 blank back to Grambling State University. And I'm saying to myself in my mind, blank, 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 you too, coach, in my mind, right?
Yeah.
Because the fact is, I'm mad at him, like, ain't nobody that can beat me running no route, but the way you want me to run the route, we're not running right like that at Grambling, but we know how to get down and run that route. But I don't want to hear that crap. So that's what I'm saying in my mind. I was 21, but 21, we was 21. We were like 51s, you know, back in the day. These boys 21, like they 12, right? But no. Then some of them, it's half and half, but that's another topic. All
right,
so, you know, I'm saying to myself, like, wait a minute. But you're going to throw Grambling State University and everybody got to hear that? Like, what, that's a down rate? You down talking my university? You down writing me? I'm sorry, so I'm getting so hyped right now, so I'm getting pissed off right now. But the way I do, y'all through laughing?
I'm laughing. No, I'm done.
All right, because I'm not laughing right now. I'm not laughing right now because the fact is, no, this is what I'm saying. This is why I talk the way I do. Because what they see me talking about at the university on this radio show, because I'm going to get to the point and you're going to understand why I'm freaking talking like the way I'm talking about the university. You have something
but
to
you
talk
also
about. Let me say this.
Okay.
You have something to talk about. It may be on the media talking about the prejudice and all that crap. But I'm talking about some stuff that they don't tell you. When you're coming from a SWAT, and why the coach, why Eddie Robinson Jr. up at Alabama was pissed off the way he was pissed off, okay?
Right.
It's a reason why I'm talking like this, because the fact is we understand as SWAT players why he's acting that way. But now we're going to get around in there by this, and we're going to be smile. Yeah, I know he wasn't right. Yeah, he was wrong. Yeah. I got to get my check. Thank you. But go home mad, taking a shower, mad as a son of a gun, mad as a red waltz. A lot of people don't know that's way back in the woods right there. Red waltz would knock you down. Red waltz is dangerous. But mad. But you at home, right now. We're going to the HBCU. But you mad at home. But you won't stay up and you won't say nothing talk about it around your friends. You're going to be like, well, he never. But you know and I know. You know and I know, don't you? You know and I know that you mad. Well, I know you know. Because you went to all-black school. Now, you know how you treat, plus you got to the league. I'm talking for the guys that went to the league. They know. So when I talk like this, it's the reason why I'm saying something, because it's the reason I'm going to go to the point down the road.
Let me break
you
down.
He said,
Stevie,
if you don't run that route right, I'm going to send you back. So now Santa say
this.
But
the coach is different. It's a different coach from what you had.
So
it's
we
totally
understand that. We
you
understand
have.
What you're saying. Now, let me say this, Ms. Gibbs, before you get in. I'm going to say this and make sure you have it because I'm going to get hot. Maybe I should have just had a hot show tonight. All right. Now, listen. I have friends of all different I have friends of all different nationalities. But you understand the history. There was a lot of coaches upset at Coach Robinson, what he created. Because Robinson created an offensive scheme that cannot be beat. And you idiots out there don't understand it. And you idiots out there, you do know what I'm talking about for the coaches. For the coaches, the real coaches are getting paid the millions of dollars, and some of the coaches out there don't want to coach, they know they knew Coach Robinson had an offensive scheme that you could not stop. And, yeah, they right now sitting in their mansions. They're sitting in their mansions right now. Yeah, they are. But I know, and I'm going to send you a post this week because I'm hot right now. I'm going to send you a post this week, and I want y'all to take a long look at this and think about it the rest of the week when I was at the Hula Bowl. And there are some players that know what I'm going to post, and they see it, they know. If they was at the Hula Bowl, they know. They're not going to come out and say it, though. They not. Because they have to go to work tomorrow. Got to get their check and go on with life. Be happy. Go and eat the cheese. But they had, because Robinson had a system that you cannot beat, and Coach was pissed off about that. And still today. And it engraved on the players saying, you're from Grambling. But one thing about it, every player that I play with at Grambling, all the way up to should be now, when they put them G's on that helmet, you in trouble. You better get out the way. You better be ready to play because they're coming. But today you have a coach now that if I have an offensive coaching staff that don't know between red and green and white and yellow and blue, running patterns, I'm going to say this and let y'all talk. I'm going to be through talking. I'm going to let y'all have it tonight. Not just the players at Grambling that came through. Doug had players already to play. He had players. I had to sit back and just let them go, let them loose. Because Robinson, we had some players that he could have let loose. He had some players that had to be taught, you know, learn to play, learn to rock, certain things. But majority had players, too, let us loose. Because Doug had players just let them loose. He didn't have to do too much of coaching. He didn't have to coach nothing. I just sit back and walk around and be Doug Williams. And they was going to win. Right? He had to do nothing. He didn't. But now you have coaches now. You're a coach. You're a C-O-A-C-H. You're supposed to be able to coach those players. If you have a player, they should know the way to go. That's what you're being hired for. Now, you're a head coach, and you got these assistant coaches out there, have these guys out there, don't know where they're going. I'm seeing these guys right here. I'm at the game, guys. I'm done after this. I'm at the game in Texas. My other buddy, he's on the call. He's busy right now. And if you want a guy, you think a first-round draft guy is better than a guy that he ended up drafted, that's up to you. I guess Tom Brady showed the world that's not true, right? But This guy got drafted around the first-round area, right? So he's sitting with me, and we're watching the offense. He looked at me. I looked at him. I said, man, I'm telling you, man. I said, Mexico, Matt, they running the players down at 10 yards into the coverage. Like, I'm saying, is this purposely done? I mean, what is going on? Now, as a coach, he gets the blame because the fact is assistant coaches don't know what they're doing. I don't know what's going on at Grambling, but every player I know right now, it's like junior. Look, you can't blame the players. The players going to do
something.
Because
that's no safety. Yep.
Right.
Yeah, they're messing up the safety.
But Russ and High football team could give Grambling a good run. The high school. They can't even run a perfect route. They can't even run no cross box, no spinning off the ends coming off the field. They can't run area routes. They can't even cover the area routes on the defense. I mean, there's areas that's on the football field lines that I'm seeing like run the post wide open. They don't even know what a blitz is. So he looked at me. We left. We left right at halftime. We left. He said, man, I can't. He said, man, this is crazy. I said, yes, man. This is what's going on. And this guy has seen it all. He said, man, this is embarrassing. I said, man, I know. But the head coach didn't have to do no work. But Hugh gets a lot of blame, right? Mm-hmm. Okay? But at the same time, I know his record has been a little shaky, but at the end of the day, you have a staff there. I don't know what it came from, but you can't tell me I don't know football either. You can't tell me I don't know football now.
Wow!
Don't try to make that lie. Don't try to make that lie up now. Don't try to come with another lie on me. Don't make another lie on me now. Okay. So I'm done.
I'm sitting here marinating.
You know what? I want to be presentable as possible on this show, but y'all go ahead. Cause I'm done. I'm about to.
Okay.
I'm about to go off right now. Y'all go and have it. I'm
Alan,
done.
Let me tell you this. let me say this, and I'm gonna be quick about this. First of all, let me just say this. When Doug Williams was a student and he was playing, the calls that came onto the field would get changed by the players and the quarterback named Doug Williams. Doug would call, if he felt like that play that Ed Robinson sent out on the field was not going to work for the team that they were playing, and I'm telling you what I know, not what I heard. Doug would say, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do this. That's why
we did the same thing with Gibson. We did the same thing. I'm talking about the coaching right now. I'm not talking about his play calling. I'm talking right now.
But what I'm saying,
we did the same thing at Grambling. We did the same thing.
Exactly. But who was your coach?
Coach Robinson.
Who was your coach? Thank you.
Coach Ed Robinson.
So exactly. So now you have a coach that, from what I read in the news article, a coach that was hired because he was NFL, and I'm a Raider to the day I die. So here's the thing. Your record showed that you were a loser. Every team you went to, I'm going to say it. You don't have to say it. Here's a loser coach. Now I'm the president of Grambling State University, and I'm going to go and hire this loser coach and pay this loser coach all this money and expect the team to become a winning team under a loser coach. Then you take the winning coach, you take the coach, and now he's over at Ruston High School. He's at Ruston High School now, and Ruston High School is on their way to the Superdome. They have not lost a game. Why? Because Ruston High School have Grambling's former coach, and we have a loser coach who you went and found
wow.
money and paid this. You paid this loser coach more money to come and be a loser coach. So now I'm looking at what are your intentions? Are you getting paid because we are now a losing team? I mean, because I'm not confused, but I know you hired a loser. Period.
Wow.
The coach is a loser, and then for him to come on and say, "Well, the players don't deserve the G." Okay, now I got pissed because that G don't just represent the football players. That G represents all of us who are Grambling alumni. Period. Whether we're on the football team or not. So how dare you? Well, I'm gonna take the G. No, you're the problem, coach. Mr. Head Coach, you're the problem, because if you do not know how to coach, then you should have hired coaches that do know how to coach, period. So either you don't know how to coach or the coaches you hired don't know how to coach, but all of you are getting paid too much money, period, for that team to be a losing team. You don't pay money to losers. You pay more money to winners. And why would you pay a loser more money and he was proving himself? Prove yourself. See, prove yourself. He hasn't. So we're losing because of the coach, not because of the kids. The kids don't know the plays because we got a loser coach who don't know how to train them to play.
I got to admit, you hit a home run right there. And Stevie, too, when he was talking about the routes going out 10 yards, you're running into a waiting defense. They don't even have to take but two steps to cover the receiver.
Yes.
But I mean, I understand. That's big time. I mean, but I just wanted to say, kind of tailing on what Deborah's talking about, it's simple. It sounds like this new coach getting paid more money to do less is – he hadn't created any kind of continuity in the culture. Nothing. As far as consistency, there hadn't been any expectation raised and that, you know, connection or communication with the team, you know, each one-on-one, to be a better player or just meet their potential. No kind of commitment has been, you know, gelled with the students, you know, with the team, you know what I mean?
Every coach has to set a culture, and that culture has to be consistent. If you're late, you get treated just like the star who's late. He gets treated the same way. There's no favoritism, and everybody has to, you know, have a sense of community and a belief in the project. You know, it's kind of like a corporation that has a mission statement. Everybody has to have buy-in and believe in that mission statement. And it seems like there is none, and it's just like community erosion within the team, at least as far as football, since that's what we're talking about, is concerned.
Right.
And that's what was there when Stevie was looking at it this way. Okay, check this out. Because there was a commitment and a belief in the system, and because it was a community, Eddie Robinson, their role in, you know, well, you said that when Doug was there, you know, sending plays in, and we changing it on the fly out there on the field, yeah, that's confidence in your guy, et cetera, et cetera. But one thing for sure, that was coming, that change was coming out of familiarity, confidence, and understanding the system. It wasn't just crazy, you know, let's just change it for the hell of it and see what happens. No, that wasn't that. It was, oh, hell, look at this coverage. That seam is wide open over there on the corner. Let's send it right out there. You know, see, and having that capability, you know, with the quarterback, and then having, well, with someone like Stevie running out there, you know, executing, you know, pattern, executing those routes, then that equaled, you know, success. Like he said, Eddie Robinson built a system that when executed, that offense couldn't be stopped.
Right.
That's why. Because there was a system, there was a communication, there was an understanding in the community, in that whole coalesce, a belief in the system. Okay, I said earlier, I went to A&T and I went to Carolina. Look at Carolina's basketball program. There's a belief in the system. Look how far they went last year after kind of being raggedy the first, you know, half of the season. They went into the ACC and lost, but right after that point, what, Duke was number four. How do you think a team that had talent, but they were disjointed, it took them a while to believe in the system. They had to get the system down and then believe in it. They did, and they went to the finals, almost won the NCAA championship. So that's because they had a system. And see, Grambling has gotten away from having a system. You know, you can't win unless you have a system. It's not luck. You can't meander through eight games and the last six games of the season and win all of them and win the bowl game. It doesn't work like – luck doesn't work like that. It's preparation and execution, period. You can get a team – okay, you can get a team. Okay, one last thing. You can get a team that has that commitment to the system and have that moral – I mean, that belief in their basic capability, even though they're the lowest team in the league, right? Like last Monday night – not Monday night, but the last Monday night when the Eagles played Washington? They're on the bottom. The Eagles were, 8-0, right?
Right.
They messed around. Not only did they beat them, but how they beat them. They had the ball most of the night. The low team on the totem pole in the league had the ball most of the night, you know, on offense. The Eagles were – it was supposed to be reversed. The Eagles were supposed to win hands down. Everything went reversed. And the low team had confidence and started getting little bits of confidence as the execution, you know, was successful. They messed around and jackhammered the 8-0 team. And that's what can happen to you on any given Sunday. But when you have somebody that doesn't believe in a system, don't that's what I'm getting at. That doesn't believe in the system, no matter what you do, you can't even luck and win. But anyway, that's enough to stretch that out. That's all I'm saying.
You're absolutely right, Alan. I kind of cooled down a little bit, but you're right. My thing is this: you go back and look again, I say it again. Grambling is the foundation of the HBCUs. Grambling is one of the foundation universities for the HBCUs. Period, and always will be that way. when you have, Grandma, you have.
Grandma's the baby of the HBCUs. You know Gremlin's the baby of the HBCUs.
Right. So, Gremlin, you have more artists, athletes, first responders. You have so many first responders. You have so many doctors, physicians, attorneys. You have all these people that's graduate past Gremlin University.
Great.
There's no excuse.
Great.
For Gremlin to be in the condition that it's in.
Absolutely.
And we know where it's going next to that point that it has to be an issue to be talked about, right? So.
Right.
This is prior when I was at Gremlin, guys. I'm going to say this and then we're going to go. When we were there, this was Mr. Gremlin. It was very active. The maintenance and maintaining. The campus, the entire campus is maintained, order, even law enforcement. Like, you can't set a budget to get more officers there to make sure things are happening, keep the campus safe. Okay. You could see the growth, the drive, the execute from the faculty. The administration had drive for success. The pride of the band still exists today, hadn't changed at all.
Yep.
The football team was light years ahead of what's being taught to the players. I'm not saying anything about the players, because the players, you put a helmet on, you're supposed to teach that player the way to go.
Right.
Sorry, guys, for all you coaches, I'm sorry. I'm hurting your feelings. I apologize.
Don't be sorry. Don't be
player,
sorry. That's your job.
I'm not. But you get that player. You're supposed to be to teach that player where
right.
to go.
Exactly.
Okay? Now, this is the thing. However, the athletes haven't changed, like I said, that much, in my opinion. My thing, this is what has to happen. We'll move this toward the next topic. We'll talk about this. The vision of the future. The orientation of Gremlin State University should be mandatory. It should be almost an elective that each student in the administration of faculty should also be required to understand and study the history from alumni. I'm an alumni member of Gremlin State University. They need to know
right.
where they're at. Okay?
Right.
Now, this should be put in place in the future. No raise should be given for a losing coach.
Hello.
Merit pay, incentive pay for a winning coach, just like a teacher have a yearly evaluation, should be evaluated in effective, developing, effective, and highly effective.
Right.
These are the things that need to be in place for these coaches. Okay.
That's right.
You have a coach that's making $5 million a year, and now he's losing this year? His pay salary goes down on that part too, just a little bit. We're not going to drink, but something needs to be just ineffective. You want high level out of these teachers? It wouldn't be for none of us to be here in the world. You would really get the millions of dollars right now, Coach, if you have a teacher, but you don't want to pay the teachers no money.
Right.
President been through there. You had a teacher. Okay, everybody, athletes, we had teachers, but we don't pay the teachers no money, right? No more stuff with the teachers.
Right.
So give me 60 seconds, Ms. Deborah Gibson Westbrook, and I have to Alan, please give me 60 seconds. And then Ms. Gibson,
all right.
I'm heated. I'm ready to get off right now.
Yeah.
And go
to Alan
go.
But
let me say this.
Okay.
Let me say this. The next topic that will be discussed is, do you feel like Gremlin State University is being sabotaged? Do you feel like Gremlin State University is being sabotaged?
Uh-huh.
I have people that I know around the area, guys, I'm sorry, that they may not say nothing, but look at me and they shake their head. Something's off here at Gremlin State University.
Very.
And it gets And is that go to all HBCUs?
Hmm.
We're going to go to Brennan. Hmm. Then we'll go to other HBCUs. Dion did a prime example, and done a prime example by being at State to give a lot of awareness of what's going on out there. We knew it.
Right.
A lot of us didn't see it and then pay attention to it. But when you go back and look at it, like, oh, wait a minute now. We have too many professionals that left Grambling State University for Grambling to be in the condition it is. And they come back and
right.
bring their kids back, their family back. They want to be able to smile. They just want to go to school.
Right.
It should be the latest and greatest. It should be the latest and greatest of HBCUs. Go ahead, Mr. Gibson. You have 30 seconds.
Let Alan go first. Go ahead, Alan. Go first. I go ahead.
Okay.
Alan, I'm sorry. Go ahead. 30 seconds.
Well, it's simple. Leadership is a transfer of purpose, and it seems like there's a lack of purpose there. Because, you know, hey, attitudes
yeah.
are contagious. You know, is yours mm-hmm. worth catching? You know? And, you know, let's see, the football team, since that was the focus, you know, it's simple. It was like when you were there. You have to have a constant routine that prepared you to be great. You don't just
right.
automatically be great. You know, tradition's like a season ticket. If you must renew it each year, you lose your seat.
Right.
So, you know, right. with that, I'll pass it over to you. But there's one last thing, and I'll tell you from the top of the trees, a team beats talent when talent isn't a team.
Hello.
And those guys aren't on the same page. So with that, I turn it over because you got a few minutes left.
Yeah.
I
Alan, thanks for joining the show,
people.
Alan Jones. Go ahead. Go ahead,
Don't you hang up. You got to hear this.
No,
I work with some good people. And let
seconds.
Me just say this. I'm not saying, I'm not pumped. I'm not patting myself on the back, and I'm not tooting my horn, but I'm going to be beat.
20 seconds.
When you want the best, you hire the best. And I'm part of the best. When you hire me, you got to get the best. You ain't going to get no bull crap, and you're not going to get no blaming the kids for it. Because when Dr. Williams brought me off that MC Hammer tour, MC Hammer was on top of the world. That means he made me an offer that I did not refuse, period. But he only called me because he knew that I am who I am as a choreographer, period. And the coach needs to be the same. How about that?
Because without a sense of caring, there can be no sense of community. That's right. You got to care.
Hello.
Well,
yeah.
You want to let everybody,
Carol,
you guys
you
want to tell
have
a Thanksgiving?
You have passion.
Just,
yeah.
You guys want to say anything about Thanksgiving to the, you got 10 seconds, Alan. You will do a Thanksgiving wish.
For Thanksgiving?
I don't
celebrate
left.
Thanksgiving.
Okay,
I don't celebrate
10 seconds. All right.
Of, well,
all right,
yeah.
Gibson, you, all right, you don't eat tomorrow. You don't eat,
I
don't
eat,
you
but
eat,
I don't celebrate.
You don't eat. You don't eat at all tomorrow. I want you to eat number some rice and some water tomorrow. That's you eat tomorrow. And I'm going to make
and
sure.
I might just
I'll let
that.
You know in this dress. All right. Alan, you want to say anything? I got 10 seconds, Alan. 10 seconds.
All right.
About Thanksgiving.
Just, care and give love and concern, you know. Treat people the way you want to be treated.
Hey, guys, I enjoyed
all
it.
Right, man.
Josh, happy Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, too.
Hey, guys, hope you enjoyed the show. There are some things we can go to the next topic. Like I said, we have to make sure we can get our university, Grambling State University, for our alumni and others who want to get a point that people can securely invest into Grambling and bring Grambling to be the latest and greatest of HBCU. And from that, we want to go from there. But, and I will get more into deep of my history at Grambling that I've never really shared over the years. The guys I know around, but also, let me tell you something, any person that attended Grambling University, they have the same history in a sense, right? So we have to get our university back on track and a lot of HBCUs back on track. Other universities, too, if they're having any other issues, it's the same. It goes the same way. We hope our team can get back on track with a better season next year. We're going to enjoy the Bayou Classic regardless of what happens. We're going to enjoy it. It's Thanksgiving weekend, but if our team can get back on track next year and get some things in place and get these guys this opportunity for a better career in their lives from leaving Grambling State University, athletic or academic. The guys in Enjoy your night. Thanks for joining the show. Happy Thanksgiving.